This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
For the weekender edition of our podcast, I am Chris Graham. Early weekender this time around. Friday coming up. I've got a road trip to make, and that's part of our weekender, we are going to be on the road tomorrow for UNC Greensboro baseball on ESPN3 hosting the Citadel. Now, the game originally scheduled to start at 6 o'clock with all the rain in the Mid-Atlantic. We're actually starting the game at 2 o'clock, and we hope we get it in because look at the weather forecast. It's still not even good necessarily tomorrow afternoon in Greensboro, but my first game down in Greensboro for ESPN3. Looking forward to getting down and seeing some more college baseball, talking with Kyle Tate is going to be my broadcast partner. First time I'll be working with Kyle, and looking forward to that opportunity and the opportunity to do a game from a new place. All this is going to be a fun start to the weekend for me, and it's going to be a long day in one sense. When we were going to do the game at night, I was going to stay in a hotel. My wife and I were going to go down actually and just kind of hang out, have some fun. But now with the game being at 2 o'clock, we're going to try to go ahead and come back tomorrow night. So we have the weekend back here in the Waynesboro area, back at our home base of operations, and maybe take in. Okay, so this is the weekender. We always talk about what's going on the weekend. On the weekender, Xanadu the Musical, for those folks in the Waynesboro and surrounding area, at the Wayne Theater. It's the second and final weekend of Xanadu the Musical, directed and produced by Hank Fitzgerald. And Xanadu, if you remember Xanadu, I talked about this last week. Xanadu was I think it was 1980 movie starring Olivia Newton-John, and the sort of the end of the disco era kind of thing. And the musical is very interesting. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I want to try to take it in maybe in full on Saturday or Sunday. I won't be able to Friday because of the road trip down to Greensboro. But three shows this weekend: Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee. The Friday and Saturday night, and then Sunday matinee. And so tickets available at WayneTheater.org. That should be some fun to do if you're in the Waynesboro area this weekend. There's no competition from other. No wrestling show like we had last weekend. That's the next one coming up October 14th. So we got a few months of a break in between wrestling shows. A little bit of chance for us who put together this show to breathe a little bit and get ready for October 14th. Man, we got a great card for that one. That's Ricky Steamboat. That's Road Warrior Animal and Kendall Windham and J.J. Dillon and Jamin Olivencia, AWE World Champion. I mean, there's all kinds of fun stuff coming up in October. As far as that goes, but a little bit of a break on the wrestling side of things. So there's Xanadu, there's ESPN3 for me. UVA baseball has, at least on paper, a series this weekend. Again, I mentioned the rain in the Mid-Atlantic. It's going to be a challenge, I'm sure, to get these baseball games in, but UVA baseball hosting Miami in their final ACC home series of the regular season 2017. Miami, a team that right around 500, actually needs a couple of wins this weekend to keep its 44-year NCAA tournament streak alive. You got to think, they could win this series and still need some help with a 24-22 record in overall, 12-11 in the ACC. Good ACC, decent ACC record. We'll give them credit for a good ACC record, but if they lose 2 out of 3 to Virginia this weekend and stumble a little bit more down the stretch, Miami might not make the NCAA tournament. That's something, when you talk about a 44-year streak, that's something you just write down in ink every year. They're going to be there. And so expect a competitive series from Miami. Virginia, a team with a 36-11 record, top 10 in the country in the national polls, number 8 as the top ranking for the Cavs in all the national polls. There's 4 national polls in baseball. Some point, narrow it down, folks. Let's get it down to 1 or 2, just like the others. RPI has Virginia in the top 10 as well. Virginia, a team that will host a regional as we head towards the latter part of the month of May and then into June. No question about that. It's really now a matter of, can Virginia actually play itself into maybe being a national seed? And, when you're number 8 in one poll and you have a chance, they can win 2 or 3 this weekend with Miami, maybe finish up next weekend on the road at Georgia Tech. You know, maybe take that series as well against a Georgia Tech team that, just like Miami, needs to win to, you know, secure its postseason future. Win a couple games down in the ACC tournament. ACC Baseball Challenge is not really a tournament. It's convoluted a little bit, but if you can win some games here going down the stretch, you could play your way into a national seed. And what that means is if you're able to win your regional, then you're guaranteed to host a super regional. And UVA's done well in recent years hosting super regionals. Of course, the 2015 national champions, 2014 got to the College World Series, championship series, lost that three-game thriller series to Vanderbilt. If you can play in Charlottesville all the way through, then there are worse things for the Cavs baseball team. Could start this weekend. They're coming off the exam break. Virginia is 16-4 in their last 20, but then they take that 9-day exam break. A lot of teams don't take an exam break, and Virginia's always done so, and you know, that's a challenge. I mean, but it's built in. UVA teams, you know, the kids have been doing that for a long, long time. They, you know, the program knows how to deal with it. So come back with Miami this weekend. I say on paper this weekend. Friday game still, as far as when I'm recording this podcast, late Thursday night, the game time had not been moved from the original 6 o'clock Friday time. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe the weather, you know, the weather forecast has been very, very malleable the last couple of days. We've gone from everything to a full 2 days of rain in the forecast, you know, now to intermittent showers here and there. I know that VMI, a team I watch regularly through my work with ESPN3. In fact, we got 4 games next week with VMI on ESPN3. Back here in Virginia, JMU on Tuesday, East Tennessee State 3-game series next weekend. VMI series this weekend, they're down on the down in South Carolina at Furman, and their game moved up tomorrow. So weather's going to play a factor in the schedule, and we'll just see how that all plays out. Weather factor tonight, too. As I'm recording this podcast, the final game of the O's and Nats Beltway series. Beltway? Yeah, the Beltway series. Was postponed because of rain, and that game will be made up on June the 8th. What had been a thrilling four-game series, 2 games in Baltimore, the second 2 games scheduled in Washington, they'll play that makeup game in Washington June 8th again. That first game of the series, the O's win 6-4, the Nats leave the potential tying run in scoring position with 2 outs in the ninth, weird play ending it, rundown play ending that game. Then the Nats blow a great start by Max Scherzer, lose in extra innings in game 2 in Baltimore. Then the O's return the favor, blow a lead in the ninth inning, and the Nats win on a walk-off. Appropriately enough, Matt Wieters, a 2-run single, walk-off single, to propel the Nats to a win. So game 4 rained out, so that's just the way things go. Bad weather has been an issue here in Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of, you know, rain and weird temperatures. We had a couple of weekends ago highs in the upper 80s, low 90s, and tomorrow, at least here where I'm based in Waynesboro, Western Virginia, not far from Charlottesville, we're talking about low 50s for the high temperature. Wonder why we're all sick, right? There's a bug going around. I've got a little touch of it right now. Yeah, that's why, you know. It's been a weird weather month. We'll see. Looking forward to a good weekend. After tomorrow, probably not as busy a weekend as last weekend, certainly for me. I got to rest up for next week, though. 4 baseball games in 5 days on ESPN. Got to pace myself. So this weekend I'll probably get in some R&R and a lot of rest as part of that R&R, some recreation too, hopefully. So, on the weekender, we normally don't talk a lot of current events and politics, but I got to jump in with the latest on the Trump-Russia-Comey imbroglio that's unfolding. And one reason I'm hesitant to talk about it is not because I don't want to inject politics into a weekender podcast. It's just because the news seems to break on this every 30 seconds or so, and something else gets added that can you just heaps uncertainty into this situation. Lester Holt, NBC nightly news anchor, interviewing President Trump today, and we learned that everything that the Trump administration officials, from Sarah Huckabee Sanders all the way up to Vice President Mike Pence, about the nature of the firing of FBI Director James Comey was wrong. The insistence was that it was recommendation of Department of Justice officials that led to the firing, the decision by President Trump to fire Comey. And he says tonight to Lester Holt, nope, I was going to fire him regardless of the recommendation. We saw denials, strong denials, that it had anything to do from the administration officials, that it had anything to do, the firing had anything to do with the Russia investigation. And we see a strong insistence from President Trump tonight, again, in talking with Lester Holt, that it was all about the Russia investigation. My goodness. I mean, this is admitting obstruction of justice. This is, kneecapping your own spokesperson, kneecapping your own vice president. And I wonder what's really going on. I mean, is this hubris? Is this a president saying, I don't care what you think, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to take the Constitution and I'm going to shat on it, and you're going to like it? Or is it just incompetence? Does the guy really – I mean, we read an interview. I'm sure a lot of you folks at least saw the headlines, maybe read part of an interview that I think he did with Time in the last week or so, where President Trump essentially said, yeah, I miss my old life. I love being able to travel and love being able to golf and not have anybody criticize me for it. And, now I've my schedule's determined by other people. I don't get to do anything fun anymore. Is he sabotaging himself? Is I don't know, man. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now that I don't know where it's going, man. I don't know that it's not going in a good direction. I think we're beyond Nixonian now as far as how all this is playing out, and it's really sad to see. Because I was thinking about this earlier today. From a policy standpoint, and it's even hard to refer to anything the Trump team is doing as policy, but from a policy standpoint, generally speaking, you're not seeing much different, for example, in domestic policy. Okay, the vote in the House to repeal Obamacare, right? That was something that any Republican president would have tried to accomplish with a Republican Congress, and they probably would have been able to accomplish it. In fact, I think other people, Ted Cruz or Lindsey Graham or John Kasich, would have had a much better opportunity, because they would have actually known the details of the thing before they tried to twist arms and that kind of thing. That's nothing new. I mean, the whole engineering of the Supreme Court vacancy to go to a Republican president, they would have nominated someone. I don't know if the exact nomination would have happened, but someone that was conservative would have certainly got a nomination. In thinking through, foreign policy issues, I mean, I don't think you would have seen necessarily, some of the exact things, like, for example, all the talk about a border wall. But you would have seen a Republican president getting tough on immigration. You would have seen a Republican president, I don't think necessarily a push to ban Muslims from entering the country, but you would have seen tougher talk there at least. And, of course, we're not seeing an actual border wall go up. We're not actually having a travel ban enforced, because the courts have said it can't be because it's unconstitutional. So all that said, though, that right now the sum effect from a policy standpoint with Trump versus any of the other Republicans who could have gotten that nomination is very little difference, if any, substantively anyway. The main difference is with Trump as president, say with Ted Cruz, who was the leading contender outside of Trump for that Republican nomination, the other last guy standing, if you want to say, at the end of that process. If Ted Cruz is president, you know, maybe other foreign countries have to adjust. You know, he's a very different guy, style wise, policy wise, philosophy wise, than Barack Obama, and certainly than Hillary Clinton would have been. But from a prestige standpoint, you know, yeah, okay, Ted Cruz, you know he's not going to upset the apple cart. He's not going to theoretically, at least, be beholden to any outside interest. This whole Russia thing, which the louder President Trump and his minions, and that's all you can call them at this stage, his minions, his trusted confidants who won't say no to him and won't do anything to acknowledge bad news, and thus keeps him shielded and empowers his tantrums that we see coming about as a result. We wouldn't have seen Ted Cruz acting in this way. We wouldn't have this idea now perpetrated upon us that our country is subservient in some way to a foreign power that has acted for many, many decades inimical to our interests. And here we are now. You know, we have to legitimately wonder if Michael Flynn, for example, even in his brief tenure as national security advisor, acted on our interest or in the interest of Vladimir Putin. We have to wonder why Donald Trump is so careful not to release his tax returns. Is there something in there that shows that it could be a smoking gun, you know, linking again himself to Vladimir Putin, maybe others, other foreign powers that have something over him, and we'll never know, because he's not, and until he releases those tax returns, which he's not going to willingly anyway, we have to assume that it's at least a possibility that there's something in there that he's, you know, so feverishly working to hide. It's a great shame, you know. I would love the guy to release his tax returns, and I would love to find out there's nothing in there. I would love for him to stop trying to impede the investigation into whatever may have been done during the election last year on behalf of Russia, by Russia, even on the side of whatever things may have happened. I would love for that investigation to be done by an independent prosecutor and find out that nothing happened. That egg on face would be something I would relish. I would wipe it off and say thank you, because at this stage, I believe we have a Manchurian candidate as our president, and that's scary, folks. That's scary. You know it's scary. I know it's. We all know it's scary, and we'll never know for sure. I say we'll never know for sure. I'm not rooting for impeachment, because as a partisan Democrat in the 1990s, I hated that Republicans tried to reverse the results of two elections with the trumped-up Whitewater investigation that led to impeachment proceedings against President Bill Clinton. I hate that millions of dollars were spent in the 2010s by Republicans to delegitimize Hillary Clinton before she even got elected. And the delegitimizing efforts were over nothing. We all know it was over nothing. I hate that that's the way politics are played, and I would hate to think that anything involving this investigation would be partisan political. I want it to go away, but I want it to go away because it's nothing there, not because it makes our president look bad if there is something there, and so let's just hide it because we don't want to talk about it. We've got to find out for sure, and everything this president and his team is doing is aimed at stopping that. So, you know, heading into the weekend, this is the Weekenders. Heading into the weekend, I think we're going to see more news about this. And the drumbeat from the Trump team is going to get louder about how fake this is. And the louder they, if they only realized that the louder they get in protesting, the more it makes it obvious that there's something there. Stop impeding this. Just let the investigators do their thing. Be open and honest about it. Release your tax returns. Get it all out there. And if you don't, you're admitting guilt. Let's just put it that way. You're admitting guilt. And resign. Let Mike Pence be. I don't think Mike Pence has. He, you know, from a partisan standpoint, man, that guy is, you know, he's anti-LGBT, he's anti-abortion, he's a very constrictive social conservative, but I think the guy's an honest guy, and you know, if this country has to have him as our president the next 3.5 years, there's worse things than that. Again, we could have had Ted Cruz, we could have had Marco Rubio. I mean, any of the number of guys on that Republican stage with Donald Trump, any one of them would have made a safe choice, who would have enacted policies in some ways, most ways, similar to what we're seeing now, without the baggage, without the appearance of having sold this country to foreign powers. And so we've got to root for our country here, and I'm a partisan Democrat. My goodness, that's, you know, that's been who I've been since I was old enough to know politics, and I've been talking politics since I was 6 years old. I'm a partisan Democrat. There's no question about that. But I'm an American, and that's first and foremost with me. And I'm rooting for America here, and I'm a little worried about America right now. Heading into the weekend, right? Weekender. I got to keep that Weekender theme. It's supposed to be light and bouncy, this Weekender edition. It's hard to be light and bouncy. So I'm hoping. Other news, I have started writing a book. Now, you know, I've written 5 books in my life. Most memorable for me was co-author job with a friend of mine, Patrick Height. We used to host a radio show together, a couple radio shows together. The one we did for the longest period of time was called ACC Nation, and a lot of fun that was. And during that period of time, we co-wrote a book on the history of University of Virginia basketball. That was 10 years ago. That's the last time. Well, actually, 11 years ago, 2006. And life's happened, and I haven't written any books for a long, long time. I guess I had a couple published since then, but they were written. Actually, I want to think about it. Yeah, I had a book called Judge Not that was a fiction, came out around 2009 or so, a collection of my short stories that were written largely before 2006, came out in 2010. But it's been a while. Let's just say it's been a while since I've written a book. But I'll, without going into too much detail, I will say that it's more along the lines of Mad About You in one sense. It's a nonfiction. And it's also about sports, particularly professional wrestling. And so, you know, I talk about wrestling on these podcasts. Here I am. I'm, you know, a man of letters, right? 17-time Virginia Press Association journalism winner, a contest winner. You know, written books, have talked politics and sports on radio and TV for 15 years. Got the wrestling bug as a kid, though, and then had the opportunity to work with a company named Awesome Wrestling Entertainment. Started out just simply working some minor PR for them, helped build a website, and did some just a little bit of work helping promote some shows, and got inside the company enough to then be the head of creative for a company that put on a live TV pay-per-view, and it hasn't gone away. That's a show that we were part of last weekend, also by Awesome Wrestling Entertainment. And we have another one coming up in October. And, you know, get to write creative again for them, get to work marketing. It just, wrestling is something for me that's a joy. And it's work too. But, man, being able to work in something you love is awesome. So I've had people talk to me over the years, you know, say, basically, man, you know, when I do get to sit down and talk with people in depth about my experiences in pro wrestling, you know, behind the scenes, what it's like to write a wrestling show, what it's like to work with some of the bigger superstars. And we've worked with guys from Mick Foley to Kevin Nash to Shawn Michaels, the Rock and Roll Express, Diamond Dallas Page. I mean, it's a long, long list. I'm leaving a lot of guys out when I just mention those names. I mean, some of the biggest stars in the last 30 years in pro wrestling, I've had the fortune to be able to work with and write stories that they then bring to life. And that's just, for me, the little kid in me at 12 years old who started watching pro wrestling, to think that, you know, that little kid who loved watching it, you know, gets to be involved in the sport and in the business the way I am now. It's really cool to think about that. But I've had people say, you know, especially those who have, you know, kind of taken the curtain back a little bit and given them some inside knowledge, man, you ought to write a book about that. You know, you ought to tell people what it's like, because it's always so cool to hear these stories. And so I don't know what made, you know, I do know what actually made me decide to do this. There was a little bit of impetus. I was doing research for a column actually about our show that we had last week. One of the performers on the show, a guy named Jamin Olvencia, who I mentioned earlier, is our AWE world champion, won that belt in a match at our show last weekend. I'm doing research on him, and his Wikipedia entry, whoever edited his Wikipedia entry, wrote about how he was on the AWE Night of Legends pay-per-view in 2011, but it didn't just say it that way. It called it the infamous AWE Night of Legends pay-per-view in 2011. And I had to do a double take. I wrote that show. Doug Ward, promoter, and I collaborated on that show for months on the creative side of things. Man, we had a lot of fun, you know, and I never thought of that show as infamous. So I had to do some research. What do you mean infamous? I mean, it implies that, you know, like, I mean, the show was some sort of running joke in the wrestling community and all that kind of thing. And so that made, you know, so that's the jumping off point for me to do this book. I mean, I'm going to use that jumping off point to go in depth about the work we did on that show and then the subsequent work we've done since in the wrestling business. And, you know, my experiences working with a lot of those big name guys. And, you know, again, pulling that curtain back a bit as to how it's done. And I think that there will be some interest out there. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you're listening to this, you know, you probably want to know how the sausage is made. You know, I mean, it's a book I would want to read, actually. And so I threw myself into this so much that today I already wrote the first chapter of the book, first 10 pages or so of the book. Maybe it's more of a foreword. It's more than it is a chapter, but got the book laid out, you know, got the, you know, how the chapters are going to go. Just got to flesh them all out now, but this is exciting for me. I'm, you know, it's weird. I you get too busy sometimes, a lot of times, to do things. And I'm just going to see how this comes out. So I'm hoping, I mean, I have no idea, you know, schedule wise and everything else. I mean, people talk about how they're writing books and all this kind of thing. I will say that it's probably going to be available solely as an ebook. I you know, having worked in the publishing industry for a long time, ebook is to me the way to go. There's no cost involved from my standpoint in terms of, you know, having books laying around. That Mad About You book, the book on University Hall that Patrick Hyatt and I co-wrote 11 years ago, man, we had copies of that for years that we couldn't get rid of. We finally, when UVA basketball experienced its recent resurgence, the beginning of that back in 2014, the book started flying out again because people wanted to, you know, they wanted to feel nostalgic about UVA basketball. And, you know, we've been asked, talked to at least by some fans, at least, saying, hey, can you maybe update the book now that the program's back on national prominence? And we'll see. It took us so long to sell out the massive runs that we had produced back in 2006 that I'm going to need some more persuading to get back into that one. But yeah, the ebook route is a neat route. There's no upfront cost. It's just really investment of my time. My wife, fortunately for me, is a graphic designer. We've got some book cover folks on staff that I'm sure can design some great looking book covers that, you know, for a book cover for an ebook. And we've done a lot of books for clients over the years. And so, yeah, we can do all this in house. We won't have to have any upfront money. It'll just be my marketing time and as a result of it being an ebook too, I can make it a low price. You know, it doesn't have to be a $20 book. I can probably price it for, you know, $7.99, something like that, and you folks can read it and hopefully like it and share it and all that kind of fun stuff. And you know, yeah, I'm so enthused about the project now that I'm hoping I can get the book done and in a month or two, you know, have a couple folks read it, help me edit it, and that kind of thing. And maybe by, say, August or September, maybe then the book can be available by ebook. I mean, that's ambitious, but I'm an ambitious guy, right? So we'll hope that comes out, and by that time, and you can read and maybe learn a little bit how the wrestling is made, how the sausage is made, right? We can maybe it's a working title. I've got another working title in my mind too. So, but that's upcoming. So exciting times for me there. Boy, baseball tomorrow, 2:00. UNC Greensboro hosting the Citadel, first game of a 3-game series. We're doing just the one game. Kyle Tate and I will be doing just the one game on Friday, weather permitting, God willing, right? And so check it out, 2:00 on ESPN3. If you're a cable subscriber, satellite subscriber with ESPN, all you got to do is go to, you can watch on your big screen TV if you've got the ability with Roku or PlayStation or whatever else, you know, however you get the internet to your TV. You can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your iPad, watch ESPN app. I mean, there's lots of ways to watch it. But hey, you get to hear me talking about baseball. So that's coming up. Xanadu, wet weather weekend in the Mid-Atlantic. Hopefully, if you're not in the Mid-Atlantic, it's nice where you are. We're eventually going to get nice weather. That should get you ready for the weekend. So I want to thank you for listening. As always, can't be good. Be good at it.